Hi everyone, it's Roger and Mo here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast. This is a kind of special, say bonus episode really, because we're going to have the launch of Star coming on Tuesday the 23rd, and we kind of wanted to go into a full on deep dive into the launch, what it's going to be about, the pricing changes, parental controls, what we're looking forward to, the lineup, etc. And to be honest, it was so big, we kind of felt like it needed its own separate thing. So we've got Mo, who runs the streamingbuffer.com, and so I'd just like to, for Mo, for you to introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, yeah, my name's Mo, as Roger said. I run the streamingbuffer.com and run it with one other person. We cover kind of news and reviews for the main streaming services, like both in the UK and the US and all over the world. And yeah, I'm kind of really looking forward to the Star launch anyway. That's why I messaged Roger and I was like, we need to get this done.
Yeah, and it was kind of one of those things for me. I was just like, it's like obviously talking to James about it all the time and going, good. I was just like, I really need to speak to a Brit or an Aussie or a Canadian to kind of, because we're in a different zone, because we're so, you know, Disney Plus is kind of going into this massive change, this massive like identity change. It's pretty big. I mean, all over the TV, over buses, over the radio, Disney are really pushing this Star heavily. And the idea that it's for grown-ups and Disney Plus is evolving, and all the issues that we've had with Disney Plus over the last 18 months, suddenly Star is like fixing half of them, you know, and it's such a big deal. But unfortunately, because it's not happening in the US, it's kind of it's almost, I feel like, creating like a two-tiered Disney Plus, which is a bit odd. It's okay, it's one of the things. Whenever we kind of have these kind of things that change, you know, but as a whole, what do you feel like with Star, of just like your initial impressions of what you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think Star is going to, as you said, like really change and make Disney Plus evolve and kind of, like pun intended, mature the service quite a lot. Obviously, it's meant to be a replacement because we're not getting Hulu over here, or like Hulu's not really leaving the US anyway. So I think this is kind of a good compromise, because Disney does have a lot of content spread out across all of its different studios anyway. So having it all in one place is a nice compromise for us not getting Hulu, which is a pretty amazing service in its own right anyway.
Yeah, I always think the thing is with Hulu, I think the problem is Disney are very much in that line of, I think trying to launch Hulu internationally would have been much harder for them, a much harder sell, because essentially it would have just been like, oh yeah, another streaming service. It's much more, there's too many services. And I also think internationally, Disney have kind of got a different, their image isn't quite, the wholesome side of things isn't quite as effective as it is in the US. A little bit more open, a little bit, you know, people understand this a little bit more. And ultimately it just makes Disney Plus much stronger, turns it into that Netflix level of it's for everybody.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with like all of what you just said.
Yeah.
But I think so like the challenge with Hulu and it launching internationally is purely down to Comcast, which when Disney bought Fox, they also tried to make a bid to buy Sky, but the regulators in Europe were like, no, it's just not happening. So Comcast wound up buying Sky, and Sky is kind of like the dominant player in the whole like DVR and satellite and programming and stuff like that anyway. And they're just making it a lot harder, because if Hulu were to launch in the UK, it would just take people away from Sky, which Comcast wouldn't want.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird thing of how, what would happen had Disney managed to get hold of Sky. You know, it would have been a massive shift in what they were doing. I think we might have had a different Disney Plus experience. It would have been very different how we got it. But I do think, as a whole, Disney Plus is much stronger. I mean, they said earlier, there was a press event earlier in the week, a virtual UK one, and they said that a lot of the feedback that they were getting was that there was not a lot of stuff for adults. And they're calling it me time. And I think they were very much getting a hint that parents and adults weren't necessarily happy with Disney Plus. It wasn't really, I mean, other than The Mandalorian, we then had that, what, like 9 months with nothing on there for really for an adult to watch. And I think they were getting that hint that people, they were keeping it for their kids, but once the kids had kind of, if they finished watching it, or if you're a student or something like that, you were just cancelling it and moving on. And I think that was the feedback they were getting.
Yeah, and I think part of it is like, yeah, as you said, like adults were just cancelling it. And a lot of it is due to COVID, that we haven't had like this steady stream of content that we're hopefully getting this year anyway. But I think it is a good move that what they're doing with Star. Had they not decided to launch Star as early as they did, because it really was kind of like August they made the announcement, and then they kept on giving more information, and then at Investor Day in December, like early December time, they said that they were planning on launching it, and I didn't expect it to launch so soon.
I'll be honest, I think it was perfect timing to get it out while we're all in lockdown, while we're all dealing with it. And it also just made, they just have to start. They had to kind of get there somewhere. I mean, the content that they're bringing in is coming from the core studios, which are ABC Signature Studios, 20th Century Television. You're also getting Searchlight Pictures and 20th Century Studios. You're also getting stuff from Freeform, but they're not even using that as a brand over here because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But those are your, and FX, those are your kind of five core brands of Star. So it's going to be bringing in so many different shows, so many different movies. I think in the UK, we're getting around about just under 300 movies, 75 TV series. It's about 500 in Australia and Canada. They're getting a much bigger, there's a lot more mix, but we'll get into that a bit later on. But there is some big changes with Star coming in of what content is going to be available. So jumping into that first off, obviously bringing in content like Deadpool and, you know, Sons of Anarchy does mean now that there is a lot more additional content that's not necessarily good for little Timmy watching without his parents around. So they are introducing a much stricter and stronger parental controls. And literally, just before we recorded this, found out that actually these controls aren't just happening for us with Star, it's going to be happening globally. We're going to have brand new parental controls where you can set each profile to a certain limit. So 18, 16, 14, 12, 6, etc. And that's all going to be coming in on the Tuesday, the 23rd, when Star launches globally. So this is a massive, big change, even just as far as that goes, to really kind of help. So if you want to watch something, you have to put your PIN number in. I'm hoping the fact that you can turn off the PIN. So like, if you haven't got kids in the house, you don't have to worry about it, because that's what I find really annoying. You're like middle of 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sky and you've got to put in your PIN code.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's, yeah, no.
Yeah, I am hoping that we don't have to do that, but understandable if it is. I'm not gonna lie, I'd set life for Sky for like 0000.
Yeah, I think we did that. We wound up doing that as well when we had Sky, because I think what Sky's time is it 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
When,
well, that's like the watershed time, isn't it? The traditional watershed. But yeah, so there is going to be a lot more parental control. So don't be alarmed when you fire it up on Tuesday and you are prompted with the idea of setting up the profiles. So you can set them appropriately for the children or the adults in your... So I've got to set mine up for my dad so he can access it properly. But also as well, you might, you know, maybe in, say like you've got a 13-year-old now, and when on their 14th birthday, you give them then access to that. So you can go into your profiles and then adjust it. So this is the thing, if ultimately kids are going to, you want to keep giving them access to a little bit more. And also, and I'm going to say this just purely as a little bit of advice, make sure that you don't pick the same code that you give that your kid already knows, maybe for your phone or something like that. Also, I would suggest changing it regularly, because the kids are watching the codes much quicker than you are. I know when I set my friends up on their Xbox, the 10-year-old knows the code, but none of us else know the code to get in. So it's like, just be aware of it. Ultimately, and this is the thing, from Disney's point of view, and they really did stress this week, it's down on you as the parent and the owner of the account. That's, you know, they put the tools in place. You know, if they didn't work it out, that's on you, not on them. So they were very open about the idea that, you know, the parental controls are there for you to use, but ultimately kids are very smart and they watch you, they watch what you're doing, so they'll keep an eye out for that code. So you might want to change it every now and again. Yeah. So yeah, so that's the parental controls. Anything you want to add on them before we head on?
Yeah, so I don't know if you might have read this somewhere or you might have seen the investor date, but basically the way that the parental control is going to work is you enter in your password the first time you sign in on the 23rd, just to confirm that you are over the age of 18, because then that gives you the kind of authority to change all the parental controls. If you decide to enter in your password and confirm that you're over 18, you get access to the full Star catalog. If you don't confirm that you're over 18, from my understanding, I think you still get access to some Star titles, but only the ones that are 14 plus.
Yeah.
Rather than, because you'll still have the Star tile on your home screen. So you'll still be able to watch things like The Simpsons and that, which will be under the Star banner.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I think that's a good way of them doing it, because essentially getting a splash screen when you log in going, you're aware of this. And if you put the password in, you know, and if anyone then goes, well, Mike, I didn't agree to this. Well, you must have put your password in. And if you didn't, your kid knows your password. And that's, again, there it gets to a certain point of at what point does this leave that zone of when is it Disney's fault and when is it your parents' responsibility? You know, there is that line and this thing of like, well, you're in charge of your password, and that's the way. So I think having a splash screen is a definite way of getting around that, making sure that you're aware of how this works. So I think that's good. Mm-hmm. It's funny you mentioned the thing about the Star, because I've noticed this with a few of the titles that have been listed in the Star Zone. You know, things like Fault in Our Stars. I think even like things like The Simpsons. Anything that comes, even Rio. You know, anything that kind of comes under the 20th century branding seems to be now being shifted over into the Star section. Maybe because it didn't fit under the Disney side, but you know, I can expect we'll see like Ice Age. So while the Star is, it doesn't necessarily mean it's mature. It's just the fact that it's something that hasn't got that Disney logo on it. They needed somewhere to put all this stuff. And I think they maybe felt 20th Century wasn't the brand that they wanted, which is, I don't still get why they didn't use that as the main brand. It would have made so much more sense.
Yeah, I think obviously people know 20th Century Fox, but they don't know 20th Century.
Yeah.
And they're trying to kind of move away from the Fox branding anyway. So like for the same reason that they didn't have the tile as Hulu, 20th Century probably just has no recognition, because maybe kind of like your average consumer won't know the difference between, won't know that 20th Century and 20th Century Fox are the same thing, just under a different name.
I think, I've got to be honest, I think having had to say the words 20th Century Studios probably about 1,000 times, it's kind of ingrained in me now.
Yeah.
But it is that kind of thing. You know, most people wouldn't say it on a regular basis. I think, again, I still wonder about the FX brand. It kind of doesn't necessarily fit under it, but it does make a little bit of sense of why they, if they're going to keep it. Moving on from there, now let's talk now about the price, because there is going to be some price changes. A little bit... in some ways, a little bit complicated how they've done it, but it's the best way they probably could do it. So the price will be going up on Tuesday the 23rd. So in Canada, it will be now $11.99. Australia will be, again, $11.99. New Zealand, $12.99. In the UK, it'll be $7.99. And in Euros, it'll be $8.99. That's a month. And annually, it'll be going up to $120 in Canada, Australia, $130 in New Zealand, just under £80 in the UK and just under €90 in Europe. So those prices come in for new members from Tuesday. So if you are sitting on the fence this week, get it today or tomorrow, get your annual subscription and you get it cheaper. If you are an existing customer, the price rises do not kick in until August. So if you're paying monthly, you won't see the price rise till August. If you're an annual subscriber, if you have to renew before August, you will get the existing price. So I think probably most of us that signed up back in March will get the old price for another year. So we don't really actually have a price rise until next March. And I'm guessing it probably would have gone up again. Just as an idea. Let's be honest, I'm in the zone of having, you know, running a real life business in the real world. You know, annual price rises are just something that you just generally have to deal with. But so I'm expected. But I thought that was a very good way of them doing it, price wise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anything else you want to add on the price before we
No, I think you covered everything.
It's just easy just to kind of go through the information on that one. Okay, so now let's move on. So the Star Liner. So how good is it? How bad is it? What is your impressions of that Star lineup for the launch?
I think it's a pretty solid lineup for the UK at least. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not as good as it's not as kind of comprehensive as the US. Not the US, Canada's and Australia's and New Zealand's, but it is still a pretty good a good lineup. Like you said earlier on, it's literally like doubling. Or more than doubling the catalogue, and they have promised around about 1,000 titles within year one plus 35 originals.
I mean, just on that note alone, I mean, if you look right now, I think Disney Plus is hovering around about 1,000 to 1,200 titles on Disney Plus right now. So if you're adding in 300 to 400 on Tuesday, that's nearly, what, 40, 50% of doubling it.
Yeah.
Add another 1,000, essentially within a year, they are doubling the size of Disney Plus. Hence why Disney Plus has gone up £2 a month. The important thing as well is Disney Plus would be going up £1 a month or €1 a month anyway, because they're doing a price rise. So it's actually essentially Stars only costing you £1 a month more. So that's, I think that's the key thing of when it's gone up 2 months, but if you break it down, that's how it works out. But anything, what else do you think about the lineup?
Yeah, no, I think the originals that they've got are pretty good ones. I think, the weekly releases, it's a little bit frustrating because a lot of those shows have aired, like, for instance, Solar Opposites and Love, Victor, they've aired completely on Hulu. The whole season dropped all at once there. But it's going to be interesting to see the tactic that they use for like season two of those shows, whether or not they're releasing them weekly just to kind of keep subscribers in, and or whether or not they're going to kind of continue that strategy for the second seasons of those shows.
My feeling is they've done this to set expectations to begin with, to get people used to it. I also think that when we start getting like the FX and the ABC shows from America, that we will then be in line, because I did. My question was brought up during the virtual event earlier this week, and about releases, and they were said it's a case by case basis. And as newer shows come in, that will come into more of effect. But like Big Sky, for example, he did say by the time we get, because by the end of next week we'll have had episodes 1, 2, and 3, so we will be about 4 to 5 weeks behind the US. So we can't drop them all at once because they aren't all available yet. So they're doing that.
Yeah,
I do feel like with Love, Victor and Solar Opposites and Hellstrom, like they all dropped on Hulu. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if Hulu ends up changing its strategy going forward as well, as they start adapting to reducing how much content they've got. So I'm a little bit like, well, these shows have been out for a year. I mean, like Dollface, which is coming in March. You know, that's like, what, 2019 that series got released in the US. This is like, okay, you're drip feeding that one out. But then you have to think, if it was on Sky One or BBC Two, it would have been dropping weekly. So it would have been doing that anywhere. Well, what else about that? Yeah, so that I get what you mean about them. But what else would the kind of, what else kind of pulled out from you from the lineup?
I think shows like Family Guy and American Dad having like a permanent streaming home in the UK, just like The Simpsons as well. Because I don't know about you, but like when I was younger, I was watching those shows all the time.
Yes,
and I would just like, I shouldn't have been, but I did want to be able to watch them all whenever I wanted to, and kind of having that option now in the UK, especially now that we're getting, now that it's going to be like a permanent streaming home, it's quite a nice little security thing.
I think for me, it's like with those shows of having them all in one place, I kind of probably fell out of Family Guy maybe like season 3 or 4, because it was just, again, you didn't know when they were on, they didn't know, and you kind of fell out. The same thing happened with me in The Simpsons. Of, I think it was repeated so much, you didn't know when the new episodes were on. So I still haven't got around to watching like probably the last couple of latest seasons. I'm thinking about halfway through the collection. So, but I always find it funny, I think, with The Simpsons, because it gets brought up a lot with like Americans, are like, it's adult comedy, it's not for kids. And it's like, here in the UK, The Simpsons is a kids' TV show on Saturday mornings. It's just it's on Sky One all day long, and I'm like going, it's on TV all the time. It's a kid show. You know, I had action figures when I was school. A kid.
Yeah, it airs just after school on weekdays on Channel 4.
So it was like, it's not fit for kids. And I'm like, I had kid. I know, I was like 10 years old when it came out, and I had my action figures and my Bart Simpson t-shirt. And I was like, no, it was a kid show. And I'm like, okay, Family Guy at least kind of understand the difference. But I think that brings in the adult level of comedy. I think the movie lineup, I'm going to be honest, there's a lot of library content that I like the look of. I'm a little bit disappointed. There's not a lot of modern stuff. It was very back catalogue-y.
Yeah.
And I can't help but wonder if that's due to the existing contracts with Sky, or if they're holding back a little bit for some bigger heavy hitters once they've kind of got star established.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of both. Like, the licenses are probably expiring on Sky or have expired. So the ones that are expiring, they obviously can't do anything with those. The ones that have expired, they're probably going to wait until they see what happens and then release them as kind of like bigger content drops. But as they've said, they want to have 1,000 titles under the Star brand by the end of year one. So
yeah.
I think some people have worked that out to be something like 50 titles a month.
I mean, if you look, that's the way I look. I mean, if you look on Now TV in the UK, you can see where the like Die Hard and Aliens and Predators are all like leaving Now TV over the next year at different points. It makes sense for them to sort of stretch them out a little bit. So that's why they're not available in the UK, but they will be available in like Australia and Canada. So I think we're in that line of how that's going to work. You know, I think the more like the newer movies, like Ford versus Ferrari, I think it depends on what those Sky contracts are doing. Going forward, things might be a little bit different. And we saw in Canada this week that they're going to be getting Nomadland on April the 9th. Essentially it skips cinemas in Canada because they're all closed. And it's going straight to Disney Plus in Canada as a start. That's where I'm like, ooh, see, this is where I'm like, that's what I like. I like the idea of us now getting those kind of movies faster, boosting up those new movies and getting them in on Disney Plus as a star is going to be a lot more fun.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you mentioned Nomadland because one of the interesting things I was talking about with someone on Twitter was like how it's not been branded as a Star original.
Yeah.
So it's in effect, it's a library title for Star. So it's going to be interesting to see if they do that with their other movies. So I know they've got Death on the Nile. Under Searchlight. Is that? Yeah. Under Searchlight.
I think that was 20th Century Fox. Things like Free Guy coming up in March. You know, like what can they do with that one? Then hopefully cinemas will be a little bit more open. But you know, it just drastically changes the amount of library content of new stuff as well. And I'm going to be I like new stuff. That's what I'm in on on Disney Plus. I like new. You know, as much as I love Die Hard and Predator, I'm much more likely to watch a new movie this weekend than an old movie. What about you?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I think there's so much of new movies available to watch, like even things that have come out like in the last 6 months or so. Not that they were in cinemas anyway, but even like there are so many new movies to watch. I'd rather watch something new and like discover new things.
Yeah.
As opposed to just rewatching kind of old things that I may have seen. I think that does have its place, but for a streaming service, you want to kind of watch, you want to see what kind of new things are offering. And then its library content is kind of part of it anyway.
Yeah, I think there's a definite line of like a lot of people like watching stuff on repeat, watching their favorite shows and movies and just because there's been a little bit of criticism of Star of their going, oh, it's just stuff that's already on Amazon and Netflix. This isn't that important. This is not that impressive. And it's like, it's a big shift in how it's going to run. I think the lineup of shows they announced for March, where we're getting Next, which was a Fox show, which got canceled, a COVID love story thing from Freeform, and then Dollface, which was two. I was a bit like, these aren't really heavy hitters. These are a bit, but, and then you kind of go, hold on a minute. We have got like nearly 6 to 7 episodes a week dropping. So suddenly then it like, oh, that's actually not, you take all of that and go, I mean, I was joking earlier on the podcast with James, going, I said, like, in March, I think, like, on the 26th of March, I mean, between Falcon, and then we're going to have the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
And then I've got, like, 7 Star Originals. Of, like, suddenly it becomes a lot more impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. But I think kind of more on that, on their strategy for, like, the shows that they've announced for March are Star Originals. One of the key things there is it's mainly about giving them first run.
Yeah.
They want to just use Star as their platform for first run shows. So when there are things like that are airing on FX that maybe don't have a home in the UK, I think they'll just get pushed to Star anyway as a first run.
I mean, I think essentially, I think what they were talking about earlier this week was everything from any new shows from ABC and FX that are made by them, that's the key thing, will be a Star original. So I think there was like Rebel and there's a few other shows. They'll end up going to be coming to Disney Plus Star as Star originals, and that'll be the way they go forward. They're not dealing with Sky. They're not dealing with existing contracts. Everything is in place. It's a little bit more tricky with shows like Grey's Anatomy, which they did confirm season 17 is going to be going to Star and will continue, or going to Sky and continue to do that. And I'm guessing old contracts, same thing that the US have to deal with. I know, like, in Australia and the Netherlands, they're getting 17 of Grey's Anatomy, but then they're getting the early edition. So again, it's just swings and roundabouts. The lists are so varied at the minute of who's getting what. But there is still existing, I think we're getting into that US territory of what we had years ago, or what we didn't have with Disney Plus this first year, was existing contracts. And Sky have got some deals, BBC have got some deals with some of the FX shows. But a lot of them are expiring. I think the BBC deal runs out, I think, the end of the year. The Amazon deal runs out, I think, the end of the year. So you're going to see a lot more stuff shifting over when that all ends.
I think that's pretty much it. Like, the BBC one is probably, because I don't know if you know about the FX on Hulu platform. So the FX on Hulu platform is basically just them saying that FX has got a streaming service, but it's just embedded into Hulu. So I was expecting maybe at some point that they'll do an FX on Star type situation. For the time being, obviously they've got the deal with the BBC, which means that a lot of their new shows, so like Pose, I think, and Dave, and is it Devs?
I think, is it Rami as well? I don't know which that one's
where. Yeah, one no, Rami airs on Star's Play over here.
Yeah, see, this. I mean, it's like, but, all, yeah. And it's even down to the Hulu originals. Yeah, so I mean, they're a mess as well. Like, The Great is on Channel 4, but we're getting it's very tricky with the Hulu originals of, like, going, I don't think that one's going to become, and or that one is, you know, and it is very tricky. It's like FX. I mean, I think, like, Breeders, I think that's like co-made with the BBC. So, like, you know, you can see there's some issues going on with them all.
And I think it's funny you should mention the Hulu originals, because there's a show, I don't know if you watched it, The Orville.
I
love that so much. So it airs on Fox over here, and it's on Sky and Now TV, and you can watch, I think, I don't even know if the catalog's still on there, but basically it's moved to Hulu in the US as a Hulu original. So I'm wondering if they're going to take that approach and move it as a Hulu original over here in the UK, as a Star original over here in the UK, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a, like, weird thing with the Fox channel on the UK network of, like, it kind of feels a little bit like that doesn't sound like that can be hanging around for too long myself. What about you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Fox is either going to, it's either going to get rebranded, or it'll just go the way of the dodo.
It kind of, it's like, and not only is it, they've got to do something with it, but it's called Fox. Then they've getting rid of the branding, and it's like, it makes no sense to rebrand it to Star, because that would kind of confuse people. But you can kind of see, like, yeah, that's all going to change. But the lineup that I've, I think it's the future lineup of, like, when we're talking about shows like Dope Sick, The Dropout, like Why the Man, and Old Man, there's a few, there are quite a few like Star originals that will be coming.
Yeah, like American Horror Stories and stuff like that.
That I think in the long run, we'll start seeing a much clearer direction of where it's almost like, okay, yeah, everything from 2021 onwards is new, is fine. But anything under old contracts is a little bit more tricky. But yeah, I know like American Horror Stories, it's a bit, I don't know about the library content because I think that's lined up with Netflix and other contracts, isn't it?
Yeah. So American Horror Story, it's like the main show. It's still, I think they've got a deal with Netflix where it's a deal with the Fox channel and Netflix because it airs on the Fox channel in the UK. So I think it's 11 months after it finishes airing, it comes, after it starts airing, sorry, it comes onto Netflix.
Yeah.
So like a 1 month just before the new season starts.
My wife got into that series and I kind of caught a few episodes here and there. But again, this is the problem we've all got, is there is going to be some more issues. I've noticed just in terms of the last month of just what stuff we're talking about on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, having watched a few of the episodes of the Star originals and, you know, the type of content just has drastically shifted from being so kid friendly to suddenly now like, you know, solar opposites. And this, even just the storyline of Big Sky, you explain it to somebody and, you know, it's like, yeah, it's about two cops or two, you know, private detectives trying to track down someone that keeps kidnapping prostitutes and selling them as sex slaves is a little bit far away from you know, High School Musical the series.
Bluey After Dark.
Yeah, it is very, very, very different, and it is a little bit of getting used to. I think when I see Disney Plus on Tuesday when we fire it all up, I'm just going to be like, I think we got so used to how Disney Plus, and suddenly we're going to get this massive overflow. But I think the good, nice thing is like, I know for my friends, you know, when I go to my gaming group and online and stuff of how that complaint from them about Disney Plus, you know, and I'm there, you know, and they go, oh yeah, Mandalorian's great. Oh, I canceled it because there's nothing now till the Marvel show. Yeah, you know, that was like, yeah, I understand. You know, that was my friends, you know, in their 30s going, well, there's nothing for me. There's nothing on here for me now. And it was like, yeah, I complete. And now it feels like, you know, like my wife, I've just been able to say to her, you know, she's got her profile, but she'd never go in there and watch anything because there was not really anything. She might have watched the odd movie, but it was like, whereas now I can see her going in and going, oh, I'm going to watch that show. And I'm going to start using it like she does with Netflix. Which I think is great, because my wife, I look at that and go, that's a not, you know, and it's like my parents, you know, I was talking with them earlier this week about saying, oh, there'll be, you know, go in there and on Tuesday, I'll set, you know, the account will be set up so you can go in. There'll be loads of shows in there and movies for you as well. And, you know, other than the right stuff and Mandalorian, which I got them to watch, that was the only real things I kind of suggest. And like with my wife, you know, those were the shows, the right stuff is literally the only thing on Disney Plus we watched together for the whole last year was that one show. And it was just, you know, I said to my parents, oh dad, you need to watch the right stuff. I wasn't at least with Star, I can kind of go, oh, there's loads of stuff there you can watch.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I think, so I was at university in the last year and I was watching The Mandalorian when it came out. I was watching High School Musical, Diary of a Future President and that, and then after a while, I think there were maybe about 4 months where I just didn't even touch Disney Plus, because there was just nothing there. And I think what's important about these shows that are coming to Star is that these shows have got kind of mainstream appeal and rewatch value.
Yeah.
And it's about Disney Plus now becoming, I don't want to say it was a niche service, but it kind of was, because it was aimed at a very particular type of consumer, someone who wanted to watch only really family friendly content. And now it's not like the shows that it's getting are like not mainstream either. The shows that they're getting are like Glee. It's got a huge fan base all over the world. Lost, I'm probably in the kind of very vocal minority of people who really enjoyed the show.
I was watching Lost when it came out the first time. I remember buying season one's DVD box set because it came out in America. I think I was out in America on holiday and the box set was there and we were like 5-6 episodes away from, and I brought it just because I wanted to see what happened, because I was behind. And I just remember distinctively just falling out of the show because it wasn't delivering anything. And I sat through all 6 seasons over 6 years, so it was, yeah. And I've got no interest in going back and rewatching them. It's like I've already done that. and that's how that feels of like going, yes, I've already done that one. There are some other shows like 24. Mm. You know, I've watched every episode of that since that launched. So yeah. I mean, I think I said to my wife, because she only watched the legacy one with me when that one came out, and I'm like, you need to go back and watch, you know, if you want a binge show, try that one out, right? Because you enjoyed it. It might be a bit older, but that one's one that's standing out. There was some for me, you know, it's like, I don't think I've not seen Atlanta, so that's one that I might check out. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few different shows of that are coming up that I'm like, okay, I want to try and give a little bit of, see how we get on with them. I am generally more focused on the Star originals as a whole, yeah, it's like something new, but there's quite a few things on there which I'm looking at going, you can see like Prison Break. I watched the first season with my wife, but then she kind of ran on and did all the other seasons on Netflix. The trouble is, again, it's like, I'll be honest, I have a thing of when I cut off at like a certain time at night, when I finish what I'm doing, I tend to play video games because I'm like, I don't want to. And, you know, so the thing of essentially, you know, what I might have to, what I want to watch is different to what my wife wants to watch. And then you kind of cross that line. But some of these shows, like, you know, she went on like, and I think this is just great. I mean, I'm just loving the idea that, you know, for me, having this choice, you know, being able to put some, you know, I'm going to be putting like Family Guy on in the background, and, you know, because I find with National Geographic stuff, you can't put that on in the background as easy, because it's more, if you're not paying attention, suddenly that it's like they're talking to you, and, you know, you can't put it on in the same way. So like with the sitcoms, like How I Met Your Mother, it's something you can put on and just like leave it going. Modern Family is another one where you can just, you know, I'm looking forward to having all of that list available.
Yeah.
What other things are you looking forward to?
I'm the same, like you said, with the Star originals. I had a chance to watch also like Solar Opposites as well. And it's just it's something that you would never expect to be on Disney Plus. You wouldn't expect it. So it's like, if people think Rick and Morty is like adult aimed, this is way more.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing. I mean, it's that it's kind of, I think it's interesting to see what shows they're pushing and what shows are not. I mean, like this week, the UK Disney Plus has been, and the same thing I think in Canada and Australia, where you know, they focus on Lost, 24, Modern Family. I mean, Grey's is a fantastic series. I've been watching that one since episode one. So I'm like 17 years into watching it. I'm like, and it was brought up as well. I'm thinking, where's the next? It's like that become a Star original. I mean, I've got no interest in going back and watching all 15 seasons. I've already watched them once. But that's a show that I've been following it's hard to believe 17 years I've been watching that show. So it's kind of ingrained in my like viewing. It's been a bit weird this winter not having it. So for me, I'm not going, well, Grey's is a but because it's not going to be on there, the new episodes, I will be going to Sky for that. But that's the end. Anything else that caught your eye?
I'm trying to think what else is there. Some of the lineup for next month as well in March, Quantico. So I watched the first season of that, and then I don't know, I think it was just like airing weirdly in the UK. So I stopped after season two, after the end of the first season, but it's going to be interesting. I know it got cancelled, or either it got cancelled or ended, but it'll be interesting to kind of like revisit it and see, because that was quite a good show. And I think, just having the choice, and it's like, it's big name shows. It's not like, and as I kind of mentioned, it's things that you can rewatch again. Like with Disney Plus, I thought, oh, okay, I'd be rewatching episodes of like Recess and The Suite Life and stuff like that. But I just never got around to it because it was like, you reach a certain, like some episodes are good to just go back and watch just because they remind you of like nostalgia. But in terms of like being able to go through a Sweet Life binge, it's not a show.
See, I find this whole thing with, I think, and Disney Plus had that and in droves, of this whole thing of it being this nostalgia trip and how people wanted to go back and watch it. And I'm like going, and it's like, yeah, but how, and I always said, how long is that going to last? How long will that appeal? How long before you go, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, I haven't seen that since I was a kid. Watch an episode. Yeah, I'm fine. You know, and that was the end of it. And they're like, you know, and also this, if you're a certain age, some of these shows aren't even nostalgia. You know, they're not, you know, there's a whole chunk of TV shows that are missing. You know, we get a lot of people asking, you know, where's this show? Where's that show? Where's this show? And you're going, yeah, but it's a real, like, you know, how, I don't think there's a lot of 25-year-olds that want to watch Roly Poly Oly. You know, there's that kind of, or, you know, Dog and His Blog. You know, there's that thing of, they've all got their appeal, but I do think you, that nostalgia runs out eventually. You know, I mean, obviously things like, you know, Grey's and Office have been, are popular consistently, but it's because there's hundreds of episodes.
Oh, yeah, and it's hundreds of episodes of, like, episodic content, like serialized content, rather than it being kind of really just episodic and kind of like contained within like character. There's no character development or no age progression or something like that, or there's no real anything. And I think one of the things about kids shows is they're good, but up to a point. And there are shows like 24 or like Lost, which do reward you for kind of rewatching it and going back to the first season, and having all of that in one place forever is, I think, the big appeal of Star. Because I don't know, I'm going to keep on banging on about Lost, but that used to float between Now TV and Netflix and Amazon Prime and just kind of hover around around those three, and it would just get really confusing for anybody who wanted to watch it, and then sometimes it just wouldn't be on anything. So I think it's like, even if the lineup or the Star launch lineup is weak at the moment, it's not so much about what it is now, but it's more about kind of like what it represents for the company and for kind of consumers outside of the US in the long term.
I mean, for me, like, there's a show that Hot Zone from National Geographic that came out last year is one that I was like, I want to, that's on going on my watch list to watch, because that's something I think me and my wife would watch. But when I look at the list of lineup and going things like 911, Revenge, The Catch that's coming next month, you know, these are all shows that we would sit down and watch every week. So it's that level of, I've already seen it. Well, yeah, we wouldn't go back and see them, but I think it's more about, or the future of this is those shows that we would watch together are shows that we are going to watch together for years. The new ones, you know, the new ones coming up, are we going to, and you know, when I go down the list of, you know, it's like, do I want to go back and watch Hill Street Blues and MASH again? No, I've got I'm not interested in them, because I think they're coming to like Canada or something. But some people will, but it's about that massive amount of choice. I mean, it's just, you know, I know when I'm getting ready to just to prep up, you know, like, you know, I do like a top 100 series and a top 100 movies of the month. Well, from this month, I'm splitting it up. Now we're getting one for the UK and one for Australia, because now there's going to be such a vast, and I'm like, wow, it really does just totally shift the whole conversation. You know, I'm not putting in things like, you know, the Sweet Life or Sweet Death. It's like, well, I've never, you know, it's like, I've watched a couple, I know kids find it, but that's not the best show on, you know, Disney Plus anyway. Yeah, it was, because that was, you know, it's suddenly you're having, here's the top 100 series, oh, here's 100 more that are better than them. And you know, there is, and I mean, movies, I mean, there'll be, you know, I think like next month we're getting Taken and Sick, you know, a movie like that is just in a completely different zone, you know, of like, yeah, I might push off things like, you know, like Artemis Fowl suddenly just no longer. You know, yeah, it's good for Disney Plus, but in the long run now, you know, there's going to be a massive shift in that, you know, instead of it just being Empire Strikes Back and Lion King are the best movies, there is going to be so much more variety in there, and obviously mixing it in with the Disney ones that are really good. But essentially then the really good Disney movies are going to show up. And I just, yeah, it's, I'm just looking forward to all these kind of different options of having choice. And I think that's the key thing of when we can fire up and go, okay, what do you want to, you know, I like new stuff. So the idea of having a movie arriving on Disney Plus, say 3 months after it arrives in the cinema, like Free Guy, you know, yeah. Love Ryan Reynolds movies, love it. Well, now it's like, well, when's that going to arrive? If that arrives on Disney Plus, it's coming out in May. So maybe it arrives in August. Perfect. You know, mm-hmm. that'll be, you know, when you start having those dropping in, the, you know, that's where, I mean, I love Fox movies since as far back as I can remember, you know, these are, and there is, will I fire at Predator? Probably not, but the new Predator, that's the one I, you know, want to watch.
Yeah, it's the same thing, and we're sort of seeing a little bit of it now with the Alien series that's coming to Hulu and Star. But what do you think about Disney potentially expanding on some of the franchises that they've already got underneath the Star and Hulu brand in a much more kind of meaningful way, similar to how they've done it with Star Wars and The Mandalorian?
I think they're on the point where they essentially, until they get Comcast out of Hulu,
yeah,
they aren't going to put anything more into it. I think that's the problem. They aren't going to, any more value they put into Hulu. I mean, Hulu's, you know, it's got 40 million subscribers in the US nearly, and it actually makes more money per subscriber than Disney Plus by about twice the price. But then you kind of think, well, if they're paying $50-$60 a month for live TV, that's going to drastically increase the amount of money they make from it, and they get advertising. Mm-hmm. I think, for me, I feel like Star is going to, the data they get from us over here in the UK and Canada, and that's going to start dictating, and they're going to start seeing this data and going, like these other countries have got much lower churn rates. Their subscribers are around longer. We can charge more. You know, they are watching these shows en masse, you know, because it's, you know, the kids are watching certain shows en masse, but adults watch different shows en masse, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Mickey Mouse Club. I mean, how Mickey Mouse Clubhouse keeps even knocking WandaVision off the top of the trending chart just makes your mind boggle. But it's just kids rewatching it. And
yeah,
I think that will have it. They are going to have 2 years worth of data by the time they get rid of Comcast to be able to go, right, we've tested this on, you know, 40 million people. You know, we know this. The Americans are going to do something. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if in 2 years' time, they then make a big shift, either in do a super bundle with Disney Plus and put Hulu with the inside of it, or an extra tier within it. There'll be a big shift once they get, I think, Hulu, they've got to get Comcast out. And I don't think they're going to invest any money in any franchises or anything. I mean, like the Alien Show. I don't think the Alien Show will arrive till after 2024. I'll be honest. I think they're going to hold all their cards for when they need it.
Okay. That's interesting.
So what did you think? Do you think you're going to do it earlier?
I would have thought so. I would have thought maybe, because obviously we've just seen the news now that Paramount Plus is reviving Criminal Minds as a streaming exclusive. And obviously they've got iCarly and stuff like that. The reboot for that coming. Is it a reboot or is it just a revival?
I think it's a revival, isn't it? I don't know. Yeah.
But either way, I think some of the kind of bigger shows that are like Star or Star Library content will kind of like have their universes expanded with the addition of kind of dedicated streaming programming.
Yeah.
Because if Disney is kind of all in on that, they're going to want to spend more or less the same amount of money on a show, but just fewer episodes, so a high production value and stuff like that, and kind of retain subscribers that way.
I just think this is that weird zone of where, you know, essentially with Hulu, like, you know, do they have to share it? You know, they're having to share a third of it with another company. And it's just like, you know, and essentially COVID is just a massive year block on everything to stop it.
Yeah.
And it's just that kind of feeling of going, and if I was to release Aliens, it's like, do I release it in 2023 or do I just keep it back another 6 months and have full control over it? I don't know. I could see them starting, you know, doing stuff with their franchises. But, you know, the big thing is, where's in 3 years' time, where's the streaming market? You know, there's going to have to be some consolidation, because people are not going to keep paying for them all. Like you say, like Criminal Minds. I mean, I didn't realize, you know, till this last, you know, that's made by ABC. You know, so who owns the acts? Who owns the rights to it and all the rest of it? You know, there's a very weird line of some of these, line of who owns what. But I just feel like Disney are prepared. They've got to be preparing for post Hulu or post Comcast rather than kind of, I don't know, it's a really weird zone for them.
Yeah, I think they would do, but I also think the thing with Comcast is that obviously they've got their own service, and everyone says that 2024, but that 2024 is like the last, like the last date.
Yeah,
it's very possible, not necessarily likely, but it's possible that they could say, actually, you know, we want to buy the shares back sooner, or we want to sell, or Comcast says we want to sell our shares sooner.
Carry on. I was gonna say, because I think that's that line of, you know, in some ways it's hanging over them both, but then you look at like the weird thing of like they did with Modern Family, of how that all worked, of, you know, shifting it onto Hulu and Peacock at the same time, you know that was a big bold move. Also, like, just having Peacock buy WWE's network for the US, you know, they are making some big bold moves and are quite willing to spend. So if they're spending all that money, they might be going, we could do with that money from Hulu. You know, that could be the other way of looking at it. They go, yeah, we could do with some money, and then we could use it to boost Hulu up. Boost Peacock up. So there is, it wouldn't, if tomorrow, if there was a press release saying Disney have agreed to a terms with Comcast and they buy, I would not be at all surprised. It would be a big thing, but it would be like, yeah, you could see this happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Comcast, their strategy is quite interesting because Peacock, the app Peacock, is a really kind of well-formed app. Because I've seen videos of it. I've kind of like been speaking to people who have used it, and it's a lot more fully formed than Comcast's other streaming service in the UK, which is Now TV.
Which is funny, because you think like the guys from Now TV went out to build Peacock, because someone's like, yeah, here's all the stuff we got wrong, and now we're going to put it all right. Because we used to have Now TV for a couple of years until we moved recently, and it's like, yeah, I want to make, if I'm going to pay Sky, I might as well at least have the satellite dish, because it's, there has been that time of going, yeah, it's not so great when you're completely reliant on the internet for everything. So there's that line, but I think you can see that there, you know, how it works with Hulu Originals and Star Originals. That's where I'm really looking, what I'm looking forward to the future. But if Hulu drops everything at once, it does, how is that going to affect Star? You know, are they, you know, if they all drop on Hulu, like say Dope Sick or The Dropout, you know, if they all drop in Hulu, it's like, well, we shouldn't, and like, what, we're going to get stretched them out here? It's tricky how that's all going to work out.
I think with all of those Hulu Originals, they were like all the new ones, they probably will not drop all at once, because Handmaid's Tale, I think that airs weekly on Hulu. And one of the other things was, what was it? So Love in the Time of Corona.
Yeah.
That's dropping all of the episodes on Star all at once. It's not airing weekly.
Yeah.
And I know for Hulu, for Hulu that dropped all at once as well, if I remember correctly.
I think that's because maybe this is four episodes, they kind of felt a bit different with it. But it's, I think Hulu will start moving over to that weekly drop as well for the big shows, because they're in that same situation that, you know, they are going to have to build a world without Comcast and other companies, which I think this is where, you know, because it gets brought up a lot about this comparison between like, oh, Star's just the version of Hulu. And I'm like going, it's not, it's really like, it's so far, they, you know, they are so, while they get thrown in together, it's like they're not really kind of the same in the slightest. Because we were having this discussion with someone's like, you know, we don't say, for example, on Disney Plus, we don't go, WandaVision is coming to Marvel on Disney Plus, do we? You don't say Mandalorian is coming to Star Wars on Disney Plus. You don't, that's not how you pronounce, you know, but then we're, so Criminal Minds is coming to Star on Disney. It's just like, well, that's, it's just a weird way of saying
it. That makes sense. I never even thought about it like that. And it's confusing, I think, from the marketing perspective, because they've billed it as a streaming service built within a streaming service.
Yeah.
Because they've called it Disney Plus Star. But I think that's, I think it's also, they're kind of taking some cues from their Hotstar branding over there, because they've got Disney Plus Hotstar.
Yeah.
But I think it is just like it's similar to Hulu in the sense that it's a general entertainment service offered by the Walt Disney Company.
Yeah.
But as far as everything else, it's probably very, very distinct. But one of the things I had. I was just going to ask you, do you think post Comcast Hulu will continue to have licensed shows?
I think they are going to, I think we're going to see it really much, and you're seeing it already. There is a bidding war between Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Disney, for every single documentary, drama series, movie, everything is up for grabs to be brought. And I think you're going to start seeing it, more importantly, where they'll be buying international distribution. That'll be, because sometimes they're like with Hulu, they'll go, we've got the, it's like Boss Level, I think came on to Hulu in the US in March. That's coming on, but they've only brought the US rights. You know, there's things like that where it's, they are probably going to still be looking constantly to pick up extra stuff, because I think it's just cheaper for them. But I think you'll start seeing it where they will be buying international rights as much as they possibly, and I think they're all going to be doing it, because I think HBO, Amazon, they're all looking for global distribution because it's easier on them to kind of promote it. I think Hulu will be going at, will continue to be buying stuff, because I think there's a whole market now building of these smaller companies now making content, going, well, we know we then sell it to them. You know, there's essentially, they maybe don't hold on to the IP the same because they're not in that IP zone. You know, you look at like Disney Plus or things like, I mean, it's still weird to see it. Like Warner Brothers selling Clouds to Disney, CBS selling The Diary and the Future President to Disney. You know, like you had things like Black Beauty purchased for Disney Plus. You know, I think we are going to see more of that, picking up third party content. But they have a bit more control over it when they get it.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the case. But one of the other things with Hulu is that you can get add-ons for it. So you can get your HBO Max add-on, and you can get, I think, Stars Play, or Stars and Epics, as well. So it will be interesting to see if they still kind of do that after Comcast, or if that was, or if they're just going to take the Hulu name for the on-demand catalog and then just keep it as that and then have the live TV as a separate thing.
Because it never made any sense to me why they didn't do that with Disney Plus. Like, well, why wouldn't you like put it in? And it's like, yeah, because I think it's along the lines of, no, because you think Disney Plus is above Hulu. And I do believe that's the case of, I think they've got, it's like they would have done it by now if, like, putting Disney Plus within Hulu would seem that, and like, it's above it. And I think they don't think like that at all. I think they're thinking the exact opposite of, I could see them doing the opposite way around, where they end up adding in Hulu, all the Hulu content within Disney Plus in 2 years' time. And whether or not they kind of rebrand Hulu to Star, or if they keep the Hulu brand name. But I think Hulu is a bit more tricky in the US because they've got that whole live TV element.
Oh, yeah.
But also, in terms of Hulu, we've got deals with all these other companies, and I think they're just, as they, one by one, they're just going to end up just dropping away over time as the other big boys pick them up.
Yeah, I think the Hulu originals, like Handmaid's Tale and The Great and that, it would be interesting to see kind of long-term, if those shows do kind of have a long-term future, it'd be interesting to see long-term what their strategy is for global distribution, because Disney might decide that they want to take them on as Star originals, and kind of eat the cost of that, to kind of have some harmony between the different markets.
Yeah, because I'm just looking here now, for example, looking here at the networks that are on Hulu, and how you can see how this could change. Of, you know, you've got like A&E and Discovery, and you know that would all be under Discovery Plus. You've got NBC, which would be under Peacock. I think TBS, does that come under CBS? So that's one. So you've got this massive problem with all these TV networks that are on there, like TNT, and you know, they're all eventually going to start dripping off one by one as they start boosting up Paramount Plus, HBO Plus, Discovery Plus. And I think Hulu are going to start, they're going to be in that same problem that Netflix was, where they're losing chunk after chunk of content, and essentially then it becomes what we got, the Star.
Yeah.
Eventually, in the long run, Star is what Hulu would become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I think that's. Yeah, I think it's really kind of interesting because it's a huge get for like customers over in like outside of the US because everything's just sort of all in one app, and I don't think Disney are going to put things on the service that they intend on taking out of the service. And I know that's been an issue with the US because sometimes there'll be a movie on Disney Plus that will be on Disney Plus for like a month or so, and then it will go to HBO or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure. Did that? What was it? Was it Rio?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's like Cheaper by the Dozen came on in the UK, US this past week. I mean, that's been, it's like a yo-yo. Mm. It's been on and off about three times, I think. And again, it's just down to existing contracts that they had with HBO. And I don't think Disney are looking at them, like HBO don't want to give them up because they don't want to lose the contract. But I think they're all just looking at it going, oh, we'll just get these. You know, they've all got these problems. They've all got the same issues. And I think they're all just, they don't want to buy them out because it costs too much. I mean, you kind of feel like, right, can you guys all get together around a table and do, it needs to be like, you know, like Top Trumps kind of go like, okay, right, I've swapped that one. You need this one. So you can have Modern Family back if I have this. you can have that, we don't have the rights for that one, but you can have this one back. You know, they all need to have a bit of the swaps around. And I think that's where it's going to go forward. And I think, you know, in Australia and in Canada and in the UK, we're all going to have this problem. For example, like in the March releases, I think Dollface was on, I think it was on Cray. One of the shows in Australia was on one network. One of them's already on in Canada in another network. So even those three Star originals for March was like, we've got a problem in Canada with one and we've got a problem in Australia with another. So instantly, you know, you can start seeing that being a problem. And they did state that Star originals will vary between countries. You know, you're going to start seeing localized content. I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff in that this week. Mm-hmm. But on our last kind of topic, really, is like, do you kind of see the end of really like Disney like selling rights to any network outside of their own?
Yeah, 100%. I think the company has stated like, time and time again how streaming is their future. And I think, it was 2019 when ABC and Sky had their output deal or their box set deal. They didn't renew the license for that. Mm. And I think what we're going to start seeing is content just moving exclusively to Star. Because they call it their DTCI unit, the direct-to-consumer unit. And Disney makes a lot more money going direct-to-consumer than they do by licensing out to networks because they've got that recurring monthly billing from millions of people. And as they expand more globally, that's only going to increase.
I mean, it's when you think of like 300 million subscribers by 2026, is what they're predicting. You know, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. You know, and it's like, you know, this kind of thing is like, Disney's now a streaming company with a theme park. That's basically someone was like, well, we need to look at it as a tech. It was a bit more complicated than just like Netflix, but you can see the shift. But the trouble is they're trying to fight themselves. They're having a fight internally. There's lots of issues like with cinemas and existing there, you know, and it is hard. It's like anything, you know, anytime you've got a job, anytime you've got money coming in to do something else on the off chance, I think now they've proven that Disney Plus makes money, so now it's they've got a lot more confidence in it, and I think COVID just speeded the whole process up.
Yeah, what do you think about maybe potentially Premier Access on Star?
Personally, for me, I have the view of, and it's funny because we did talk about this on today's other podcast, Jane. I feel like we're going to get to a situation where every single new movie will eventually just be Premier Access. So every single time a movie comes out, there will be an option for a Premier purchase because you're going to end up in this situation where I think the concept, even before this whole pandemic, people were starting to stop going to cinemas.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the, you have the big event movies that everyone wants to go see on the big screen and have the big experience. But all the middle ground tier movies that generally maybe Fox was kind of maybe about weren't pulling in the big numbers. They are essentially better on a streaming service. But I can see them, they're going to have, you know, Bob Chapek said about offering choice. He's offered about the idea of having having that choice and the customer. And if you're charging £30 for it or £20 for it, it's a premium cost. If you don't want to pay it, go to the cinema. That's the kind of, I think they need a little bit more data. I think Mulan didn't give them enough information. And I think they're going to collect it a bit with Raya. I suspect Cruella and will go to Premier Access as well, because they were very, very clear in that trailer that it was not just cinemas. They didn't just say theatres only. They didn't mention theatres at all. I think Black Widow will probably do this. I think they are going to have to do some testing and just open it up, because I don't think people are going to go back to cinemas in the same way. I think there is going to be a boom of people going, but they are not going to be going seeing every single... And also, you know, we've all got... I mean, how big is your TV?
Yeah. I've got a 43-inch one downstairs and a 55-inch one upstairs.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, then this is the thing of like...
people's home theatre setups is... They're just amazing anyway.
I mean, early this year, in April, when all the... You know, when it's like, you know, we're going to be home a lot. It's like, yeah, you know, I brought a 65-inch TV. It's massive. You know, when my parents have been over and like, look at, and like my friends and stuff, they're like, that is a big TV. And then they're going, yeah, we're going to get one of them. And it's like, I think it does change of like a movie, like say like Flora and Ulysses or something like that. Would you have gone and seen that at the cinema this weekend? No, you probably wouldn't have.
No.
Yeah, you might go see, but you know, there is always a big event movies, and I could maybe see them going, oh, it'll be on Premier Access in 2-3 weeks. But I don't know. I have a feeling that they are just going to collect that information, and they're going to, if all the other industries are doing it, they're going to have to, you know, if Universal are selling it 17 days later after they've been in cinemas, HBO Max have obviously made they put their line down now. But I think the whole landscape has changed. I don't think cinemas can survive the way that they... I don't think it's just going to go back to the old ways. I just can't. I think people just want convenience.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing, is convenience above all, because it shouldn't be a case of, like, you have to... Like, you can't get to see a movie when it comes out because, let's say, there aren't enough tickets, or you don't get a chance to watch it, and then you've got to avoid spoilers. If you want to watch a movie on the day that it comes out, you should just be able to do that. And I think giving the option, like piracy, like cinema piracy is one of the things that hasn't really slowed down over the past however many years. Like, it's, if anything, it's just gotten a lot of better or worse, depending on whose side you're on.
Well, I know that's one of the things people said about the idea of where they put it on Premier Access, it just makes it much easier for piracy. But the idea really, I think, to me is about, if you make everything as easy as possible to get, more people will take it up the easier. I mean, I remember watching The Scorpion King on a download, and, you know, like, somebody would get up and walk across the screen and they're just like, and then they're going, and it is that kind of thing going, this is rubbish. Or you'd end up spending, I remember being at college, you know, this is like 15 years ago, you spend like 3 days downloading a movie, and then it was in Russian. You could watch it. Like, you know, luckily, it doesn't take as long to download now. But I mean, I've done it, you know, when I was a student, and, you know, when it was the idea of that, it was a novelty. And it just got to that thing of like, now, you know, I'll wait or pay, you know, you're not in. But I think that I could easily see them doing Premier Access as, you know, but the other argument is like with Nomadland, Nomadland. It's not a big enough movie that it needs to, because I mean, I think it's only like a few million pound to make. The budgets of these are so much smaller. They don't need to they can be pushed over a lot easier. And I think, I don't know if 20th Century Studios are going to be making those big $100 million box office movies. I don't think they are in that zone. I think they're being positioned to be the streaming and independent, and it's like a Searchlight picture. Are people going to pay premium access for it, or do they just wait 3 months and put it on, carry on the way they are? It's tricky.
Yeah, Yeah, I think I don't like movies like Deadpool 3, for instance. I don't think that's yeah, that'll have the Marvel Studios banner on it, but it won't be, but it'll be like a $150 million movie that if they do release it on Star would have to be a Premier Access one because they're going to want to recoup some of that. But I think more so what I'm sort of getting at here with the Star Premier Access is, does it provide scope for Disney in the long term to make more adult-oriented expansions of their kind of mainstay franchises?
Yeah, I think it's it's just extra way of bringing in money. I think it's you. I look at it more of just like instead of us buying the DVD, it's you're buying early access. You know, people some people are against it because they don't like they don't want to pay extra for it, and it's like, but everything in entertainment is usually like that. You think of like a book, it's released on hardback, then it's released on paperback, the cheaper version, maybe 6 months or a year later. You know, you get comic books, and then 3 months later, it's on. You know, Marvel Unlimited, video games, they're priced at 60 quid, and then within 3, 6 months, and then eventually they might be put on Game Pass or everything has this like win, and the whole network of entertainment is based on windows of releases. And I think everyone's just kind of gone, well, there's only one. No, there's actually like six or seven windows, and everyone's like lost. They don't, they maybe don't understand that that's how it's, if they've been doing this for decades. And now suddenly they're going, well, yeah, we want to get rid of all the windows and it's here. And it's like, and they go, yeah, but we make money all the way along. You
No,
know?
100%,
Yeah. And I think that's the issue. I think they're trying to find the new window. And the new window now is your subscription fee and keeping you locked in. And that's going to be it. I mean, I think personally, I think the Fox movies and the Searchlight movies are the perfect booster for Hulu and Star to give them that. When Netflix are saying, "Oh, we got a movie every week," you're not getting, you're not getting the Lion King remake and Phantom Menace and Avengers Endgame week after week after week. You know, you are getting, things like Bird Box and Flora and Ulysses, and you're getting much, smaller budget movies where you can make they make like Mulan like 200 million. They probably could have made 20 Disney Plus movies for that. That's so that's the difference.
But yeah, no, I completely agree.
So there we go. That is pretty much so that's like I said, we want to have a full-on proper discussion about Star. As you can see, there's lots coming. So it's going to be coming to Disney Plus on the 23rd. So before we jump out of that, just do a quick couple of shout-outs. Huge thank you to all of our patrons and supporters over on YouTube and Patreon. First off, to Sarah for being at the diamond level for all of your support. Big thank you to Andrew, Jacob, Caleb, Red Mars Man, Andrew, Chris, Cody, Darren, The Juice, Lester, Lauren, James, What's on Netflix for your supports on Patreon and on YouTube. Big thank you to Bad Dog Gamer, Amit, Yusuf, Ben, Adam, Chosey, Tom, Dawn, Martin, Jeremy, Joshua, and Sarah for all of your support. As I said, there was two episodes of the podcast this week, so check out the other one I did with James as well. I'll be doing a live Q&A tomorrow, which I think is primarily star-based. There's just a lot of excitement. Hopefully next week that'll all kind of be dropping down a bit, because it's hard to, it's like you say, for us of us that are in the star zone, we're all excited about it.
Super excited.
There's a lot of questions, so I'll be doing the live chat tomorrow. Mo, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Streaming Buffer, so Streaming Buffer. I don't even want to try and spell that out. Or you could go to www.thestreamingbuffer.com. And yeah, we put out articles and posts every day. Anything from kind of reviews to I don't want to say think pieces, but more like opinion based
Tutorials and
articles
columns and
on streaming.
So on that note, guys,
no,
thank
no
you very
Pulitzer
much.
winnings.
On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.